The first story we have today is about another way to mourn the dead and to remember the person being mourned. Studio 360's Jocelyn Gonzalez produced this report by her brother, Eric Gonzalez.
In winter of 1999, my world changed. On an early Saturday morning before Christmas, my mother was struck and killed by a driver who fell asleep behind the wheel. I wish that day never happened, and now it's a day I can never forget. I'm not a tattoo kind of guy, but I came up with the idea of getting one to mark the anniversary of my mother's death. No small thing, that, getting a tattoo. You don't want to be trendy or frivolous with something that marks you for the rest of your life. Mark me, just like my mother who marked and made me.
In the United States, classic sort of values or meanings were love, country, God, mother.
First brought to the West from Polynesia by British explorers, tattooing is a thriving folk art that's been evolving for decades. Margot DeMello is a professor of cultural anthropology living in Berkeley, California, and she's the author of the book Bodies of Inscription. In it, she traces the history and the many faces of the modern tattoo community.
Most of the early designs came right out of the service and reflect what was popular with them, whether it was actual images and different insignias from the different military branches, or ships, or battles, or loved ones left at home, or ports of call that were visited, or different myths, especially with respect to the Navy, different kinds of myths about crossing the ocean and whatnot. Those would be tattoo designs.
Vass is a Brooklyn-based tattoo artist and owner of Sunset Tattoo. I went into his shop on a recent Sunday evening.
I've been in the military 18 years, and I've traveled all over the world. I've been doing tattoos for probably about 8 years now. And I've been drawing since I can't remember.
Tattooing does demand a certain artistic excellence, but on the other hand, it is a skill, and it's a really hard skill to master. The machine itself is heavy, and you may be a beautiful artist, and you still may not be able to handle a tattoo machine. And then, of course, skin is a canvas that's extremely hard to work on. I've done a couple really, really bad tattoos myself. It's really hard.
As I waited to go under the needle with Vass, his brother Pete gave me the pep talk.
You know what people should never do? Hold their breath or go in, sit down nervous. When you go and sit down nervous, you will feel it a little more.
Some people evidently get off on the pain, but there is something extremely exciting about it. Not the pain itself, but just the anticipation of it, the noise, the sound of the tattoo machine, the smell of the A&D ointment, the other people in the room. Usually there's really loud music, all the images on the walls. It's a sensory overload.
I want a mark that says something about who I am. I am a Filipino-American. So does that mean I wave the stars and stripes in one hand while eating balut in the other? I don't know. I am an American because I was born here. But am I a Filipino because I was born of Filipino parents? I can cook and I can eat the food my parents fed me. The dinuguan, the sinigang. I know the curse words. And I can chismis with the best of them. But is that it? What can a tattoo say about that? I met this guy, Tim Cordova. He's Filipino and a playwright and educator in Seattle. He says all of our people are painted, the men and the women.
It's a South Pacific phenomenon as well. You know, you look at other islands in that area, the Maori. You know, you go down into Indonesia and Malaysia and, you know, et cetera, and they definitely have the same attachment to tattoos that Filipinos seem to have.
I'm also my mother's son and born of her love and dedication to her husband and my father. So I decided it will be her name, translated into Alibata.
Now, do you want it just straight black? You want some shading on it, make it three-dimensional, or you just want it flat?
Straight black.
Alibata is the written language of pre-colonial Philippines. Babayin is the alphabet of that language. It's a phonetic system, each sloping line and curved character representing a syllable.
Mm-hmm. This is a very non-painful area. Me personally, I usually fall asleep when I get tattooed here.
Something different, something that they can embrace more as their own, has an appeal. But, you know, again, I just don't think if it's not backed up with knowledge, then it, all it is it's no better than, it's like a stock tattoo now. You know, everybody knows, even these tattoo guys. I wonder what they know about Alibata.
Yeah, I've done quite a few. I have a lot of friends that are Philippine and, you know, all from all over the world.
Right.
I've done a lot of Philippine writing, a lot of Hebrew writing.
I think Filipinos on the whole actually have a problem with their foundation of knowledge about our culture, about our history. And I don't believe that you can get that, you know, just by throwing a tattoo in Alibata on your arm or something like that. It's very faddish.
Tattoos are exotic. Their very nature is exotic, especially when you take tattoos from other cultures that have had a long tradition, a long positive tradition, not a negative tradition, of tattooing, and where those tattoos were often woven up with the spiritual tradition of the culture or the community.
I used an ancient written language and an alphabet that I never knew. I grew up not knowing the Tagalog my parents spoke. They put aside their Filipino-ness so that their children would fit in.
Actually, if somebody were to comment on their tattoo, could they like break it down? This is a symbol that means strength, you know? And it's not ancient because it's still current. A lot of people still, not a lot, but you know, like in southern Mindoro, they still use Alibata as their form of communication. So do they know this?
I see a lot of kids out there who get them to make them more Filipino. Without knowing your past, all it becomes are black marks on your skin.
I think a lot of times people have to stretch. They have to stretch and dig and hunt for, you know, ritual and meaning wherever they can find it. It just really demonstrates that it's not the tattoo itself. You know, it's what you want to do with it and what you want to put into it and think about. And a lot of people are craving ritual and meaning. There's not necessarily tattooing, but some kind of permanent or semi-permanent body marking in almost all cultures. A lot of anthropologists and a lot of scholars do think that marking the body in a permanent way is a way of moving the body from raw to cooked, from uncivilized to civilized, because of the fact that so many non-Western tattoos are clearly associated with social status, marital status, royalty, class, outsider status, criminal, you know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe there is something innately human about getting marked like that.
Cool. Nice.
It's not so bad.
No, and it was quick. Cool.
So there they are, four simple black marks. Pretty to look at, but loaded with questions that have no answers. Four marks that invoke the sound of a lost parent and a lost history. I did this to honor my mother's memory, but in more ways, I do it to honor her legacy. And that legacy is living within me.